Good morning, Rhema family. It's good to see you this morning. I wish I could see you face to face, but in my mind and in my heart, I see every one of you sitting here. I love you, and I'm honored to be a part of what God is doing. I'm excited about next Sunday having drive-in church. We're going to come. We'll park 6 feet apart. We'll wave at each other, but we can drive around and see each other. It'll be a good time, and I'm excited about having that on Easter Sunday to celebrate that day. One of the things that we have to deal with at a time like this is because we don't have regular services, we still have bills to pay. We have things to do and give and salaries to pay. We want to do the best that we can to continue to minister, to help people, to be a force in the community. And yesterday, as I was here meeting, talking about some things that we were doing, we had an online conference call and when I got ready to leave, I went by the mailbox and I went out there, and I was amazed at how faithful the members of Rhema Christian Center are, because there were several envelopes of people who had given. And I just can't tell you how appreciative I am of those of you that give online regularly, those of you that bring your check to the church, those of you that mail it in. You are such a I am blessed to be the pastor of such a great, faithful group of people. There are three ways that you can give during this time, at any time really. You can go online to theramalife.com, and right on our website there's a button there that you can say give. You can go on there and give that way. You can go on your phone, the mobile app, and you can get an app. Go to the app store and download Rhema Christian Center app, where you can go right there and give right through your phone, just like you would pay a bill or set up any other way. And then in this broadcast, throughout the broadcast, we will have our mailing address come up on the screen where you can give at 3584 Davis Stewart Road, Lewisburg, West Virginia, 24901. That'll come up throughout the service, and you can see what you need to give. And so I just appreciate your faithfulness. I know a lot of you are out of work, and let me make a couple of statements. If you're watching this broadcast and you're part of another church, you send your money to your church. You take care of the place where you are connected and where your roots are planted. I encourage you to give where you attend if you're watching this broadcast. If you're not a part of a church or you aren't affiliated, then I would encourage you to give. And I assure you that we try to be good soil for you to plant your seed into and to give your bring your tithes and your offerings into. So let me just encourage you today. Today, sit down, make an offering, make a checkout, go online and give, so that we can continue to do all of the things that we need to do in the kingdom of God and be the body of Christ that God has called us to be. Thank you. I appreciate your faithfulness in giving. Well, I want to talk to you today from a passage of Scripture from the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, Matthew chapter 13, and I want to read verses 24 through 30, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?'" These tares, another word in our English today, would be weeds. How do you have weeds when you sowed wheat as good seed? Verse 28, he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the weeds, the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Lord, I ask you to just open our hearts to receive your word, the message today. Speak to us what you desire to speak to each individual, and we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Guys, everything that happens to us in this life isn't always easy. It's not always a good season. There are things that happen. Everything that happens in life and happens to us isn't always fair. I can remember so many times saying to my daddy, "Daddy, this isn't fair." And he would look at me and he would say, "So, what does that mean?" "Well, it's not fair." "Well, so what? You're going to go on and you're going to do the right thing irregardless. It doesn't matter. Life isn't fair, but you can be victorious." All kinds of things happen in this life that we don't like. Many people in this season that we're in, with what's going on, with us all being shut up in our homes and these kinds of things happen, we may not like what happens to us. Sometimes things just go bad. In today's story, though, here in Matthew, the 13th chapter, this story Jesus is telling, and he's talking about a farmer who sowed his field with wheat, and he planted good seed. But as the crop came up, he realized, as it was coming to maturity, that weeds appeared in this place with the wheat. His servants wanted to pull up the weeds. He wanted to get the tares out, but the farmer said, "No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest." Listen to me, guys. That's how Jesus saw the world, as a field, wheat, a wheat field. The Bible talks about the field is ripe unto harvest when he talks about the field and the wheat. And he saw the wheat field and he looks at the world, and the world is a wheat field, listen to me, with weeds in it. There are weeds in this world. That's why for the last 40 years I've been pastoring and preaching the gospel here in Lewisburg, and I've been preaching a message all these years of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Listen to me. This world is full of people. Good people, bad people. Good seed, bad seed. Wheat and tares. But listen, God's called us to love people, accept people, and forgive people. You know, most people don't know it and everybody don't realize it, but you know, if you look in the mirror, you're not going to see a perfect man. The only perfect man that ever lived was Jesus. He did no wrong. He was perfect. Now, he was, in my mind, the best man who ever lived. But here's what's interesting about Jesus. Jesus attracted people with all kinds of character flaws. Jesus didn't just draw good people to him. If you study the life of Jesus, and if you read about the life of Jesus, and you look about to the people that Jesus came in contact with, the book of Luke spoke clearly about a tax collector named Zacchaeus, and who the people despised him, they hated him, they called him a thief, they called him everything. But Zacchaeus was one of those guys that Jesus went after, called him by name, went to his house, had dinner with him. Everybody didn't understand, why would Jesus deal with a guy like Zacchaeus? Well, Jesus spent time with sinners. Now let me ask you a question. Who were the people who would gather all around Jesus when he was on this earth? He didn't hang out always with the religious people. It was non-religious people. It was sinners. The Bible says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. They were trying to insult him when they said that, and they said, he's a friend of sinners. But Jesus didn't see that as an insult. He saw it as a privilege because he was privileged to be a friend with sinners. He loved people where they were. He accepted people where they were. And he forgave people of anything they ever did. Jesus was a perfect man who appealed to people who were unrighteous, and they knew they were unrighteous. But you know what? Jesus loved them, he accepted them, and he forgave them. They didn't have to prove themselves or pretend to be something they were not. You know, one of the greatest things for me that I have in my relationship with Jesus is I sometimes find myself carrying emotions, dealing with certain things that happen. You know, life deals us some very difficult situations at times. We get in circumstances where something isn't fair and we start dealing with our emotions, and there's times that somebody does you wrong and you feel like, you know I need to forgive them, but I don't really want to in my heart. I've discovered that when I have things in my heart and in my life that I don't need to, Jesus is the one I can always go to. Sometimes having a friend that you confess your faults to is hard to find. Finding somebody that you can be honest about how you feel, or the anger that's in your heart, or the strife that gets inside of you, or the bitterness that you deal with. You know, we live in a world that is full of weeds. We live in a world that is full of things that aren't the way we would like them to be. But those who knew Jesus knew they didn't have to prove themselves to him, and they didn't have to pretend to be something they weren't. They were real people. Jesus accepted them. Listen to me. He accepted them the way they were. Now, here's what Jesus knew. Jesus knew that in human nature, there are always weeds, tares among the wheat. So he accepted and loved imperfect people. Listen carefully and hear me. If you got ears to hear, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I believe that as Christians, as believers, that you and I have been called to do exactly what Jesus did when he was here on the earth. Romans 8 tells us that we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. I know that everybody who's a part of Rhema Christian Center, you've heard me use this illustration numerous times, but because in this season we're reaching new audiences and new people, I want to tell you a story. If I go over to White Sulphur Springs and I get on a train that is headed for Washington, D.C., but I believe that the train that I'm getting on is going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I tell everybody I'm going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm going to end up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but the train I get on, its destination is Washington, D.C., it doesn't really matter what I believe, I'm going to end up where? In Washington, D.C., because that's where that train's predestination was determined to be. People who get saved think their destination is heaven, and I'm not trying to take heaven away from you, but the Bible says that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to go to heaven. I'm trying to be like Jesus. I run into people all the time. I say, how you doing? Said, I'm ready to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I say, well, let's just pray that you go today. You know, nobody wants me to pray that prayer. No, but not one person wants me to pray that prayer. They say they want to go to heaven, but you know, they can be. My daddy was 91 years old, and he looked at me knowing that he was going to be leaving this earth in just a few hours. He looked at me and said, son, I love you. I'd rather stay here, but I'll go where the Lord wants me to go. I'm ready to go, but I'd rather stay right here with you. That's the way life is. See, my daddy tried to live his life being like Jesus. He tried to walk like Jesus, love like Jesus, talk like Jesus, be what Jesus was. I'm not saying he mimicked him. I'm just simply saying that's who he knew he was predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, if you and I are going to be like Jesus, we're going to have to love people the way Jesus loved people. We're going to have to, number two, accept people just like Jesus accepted them, and he accepted them just the way they were. And number three, we're going to have to look at people and forgive them. You know, right this moment, we've got so many critical care workers in hospitals, doctors, nurses, and care people who are putting their life on the line to help other people and save other people's life. What greater characteristic can you see than people who are willing to lay their life down for others? I don't have enough gratitude to speak to those people who every day are on the front line dealing with the weeds and what the enemy has sowed into our culture and into our nation. There is a huge weed that's there, and we've got to fight through this thing, and we've got to keep the right attitude through this whole thing. Now listen carefully. If you and I are going to follow Jesus and be like Jesus, living in an imperfect world, we've got to do everything that Jesus did. He loved people, he accepted people, and he forgave them. If I were to try to pull the weeds out of people that I come in contact with who are good people, I would probably pull some good stuff out. I would pull the wheat out with the weeds. So I've not been called to pull weeds out of people's lives. I'll never forget, years ago, we had a fellow, Paul Hall, who attended my dad's church, and Paul was very faithful, and he was a regular, and you know, back in that day, when you'd go to church, you'd say, boy, the preacher sure stepped on my toes. And a lot of people believed if he didn't step on your toes or say something harsh to you, that he wasn't really preaching the gospel. One Sunday night, we had a huge snow, and we got to church that night. Hardly anybody was there. There were about 10 or 12 people there. And Paul would always, at the end of the sermon, be standing at the back of the church, and he would stand back there and he would go, he would stand back there like that. And that night he come back and he looked at my daddy and he said, Pastor, if they had been here tonight, you'd have really got them. Dad wasn't trying to get them, but that was the attitude that so many people had. I can't change your heart. God didn't call me to pull weeds out of people's lives. He says, let them grow together. You know, for the last 40 years, I've been preaching a message that the goal of the Christian life is for us to be like Jesus. There's times I think and I wonder, do people get afraid, or do people say that's all he's got to say as he talks about being like Jesus? You know, I know so many people who think being a Christian is changing their life. I've been in church my whole life. I've tried to change my life. Do you know what I've discovered about me trying to change my life? If I change me to be what I think me should be, I don't have very much power to change. I don't have the ability to determine what I think, because you come to a place and you come to a road in life where you know you don't have the strength to change the way you need to change. Over the last few years, I've dealt with some tough situations and circumstances. The enemy, I believe, has come and tried to plant some weeds, some tares in my life, and tried to do some things. And I've come to a place that I needed to forgive some people that I wasn't sure I could forgive. And time and again, I've said, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. And he said, you've preached love, acceptance, and forgiveness. You love people. That's not a problem. You do. You really love them. And I do. He says, you accept people. You don't put judgment on them. You don't have them meet your demands. And I don't. I don't have a problem accepting people the way they are. But this forgiveness thing was something I wasn't sure that I knew how to walk out. Oh, I could do it if somebody come and said I'm sorry and that. But what do you do with all the people who never say I'm sorry, who think they're doing you a justice by pulling weeds out of your life or pulling weeds out of your family or attacking your church or attacking your family? What do you do with people like that? The Lord clearly spoke to me and he said, you got to forgive them. It's what you got to do. See, the issue is I can't change myself, but when you invite Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart, Jesus Christ can change you. You don't change you. He changes you. Again, listen carefully. If you and I are going to follow Jesus in this imperfect world, we must do what he did. Love people, accept people, and forgive people. Jesus loved and accepted imperfect people. You know, it amazes me how many churches want everybody who comes to their church, they just want to say, you know, I got people, my people live right, my people live holy, my people are great people, my people don't ever do anything wrong. Well, I want to tell you, we got a bunch of misfits here. We don't meet the standard of everybody else. There's people here who live different than I would want them to live. But they love Jesus. They love other people. That's what Christ called us to do, was to love people, to accept people where they are. You can't change you. I have tried. I have tried. You know, I grew up. First place I ever went was to church. 2 weeks old, I went to church. You can count on one hand the number of times I missed church as a kid growing up till I was 18 years of age. They kept talking about how good you had to be, and I didn't think I could ever be good. I didn't think I could be good enough. I couldn't live like I thought everybody else lived. I couldn't do what I thought everybody else did. I didn't see myself as the perfect person. And I realized that I needed Jesus to come into my heart to help me be who I needed to be. We're all imperfect, except for him. He's the only perfect one. So listen, if he accepts us where we are, should we not be able to accept others where they are? You know, it was wrong in the church I grew up in to get a divorce till one of the leader's children got married and got a divorce. He thought they shouldn't get a divorce, but when it's his daughter, he wanted everybody to accept his daughter. And they did. It's amazing how people, when it happens to them or it comes close to home or it's in their life, they want to change how they something is. We ought to love people just the way they are and accept people the way they are. How are they ever going to change if they don't let the Word of God come into their heart and if they don't let Jesus come into their life? You see, Jesus wants to change who we are. And if he has accepted us, which he has, we ought to be able to accept each other. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is that we live in an imperfect world, but it also means, talking about church people and what we are as a church, we're playing with an imperfect team. Have you ever looked at the people that Jesus chose to be his first followers? If you would look at the 12 people that Jesus chose to be his followers, you would assume that Jesus used his best judgment to choose the 12. You would believe that Jesus selected the best available people of his day to follow him when he chose the 12 disciples. But even Jesus chose weeds among the wheat. I can remember time and time again, W.H. Compton, the pastor that married my mother and dad and that was my pastor as a boy growing up and that pastored my daddy, who my daddy served, W.H. Compton, I can remember him talking time and time again, and he would say, listen, children, if Jesus couldn't keep 12 people on the same page and not arguing, how do you think I'm going to keep 150 people from fussing and arguing together in a church? The people that we have are imperfect people. Listen at this for just a moment. Jesus chose 12. Of the 12 he chose, one betrayed him, another one denied him, And at one point in his ministry, all of them were disloyal to him. He looked at them and said, "Do you want to go too?" But he never quit that imperfect team. He stayed right with them. He worked side by side those imperfect followers, and he coached them. You know, I realize that my calling is that I'm a coach. I'm not a quarterback. I don't have to run every play. I can't be in on every play. But I want to coach you to be the best you can be for Jesus. I want to encourage you to be the best you can be for Christ. Jesus stuck with his team. He worked side by side those imperfect followers. And then there came a day when he departed this earth and he entrusted them with the final game. He passed it on. You know, those 12 disciples were young. I call Peter the cussing sailor because he swore and cursed and denied that he even knew Christ. Yet 50 days later, after his death on the day of Pentecost, who was the one who went to the pulpit? The Apostle Peter. Why? Because he was not afraid to speak the word of the Lord. Hear me say this. The same message that he entrusted to his disciples, he has entrusted to us, to you and I. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse number 8, it says this, "For I have given to them the words which you have given to me." This is Jesus talking. Jesus' prayer, "For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me." Jesus says, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all are mine are yours. And yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." Verse 11, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." Listen to me, guys. God doesn't use perfect people. He uses imperfect people. There are always weeds among the wheat. That's just the way life is in this world. And we may as well come to terms with the fact that everybody you see isn't going to be wheat. They have weeds. I hear people say, "I would come to church, but there's hypocrites in the church." Sure, there's hypocrites in it. There always have been hypocrites in the church. Jesus had hypocrites following him. Jesus had hypocrites as part of the 12. But let's be honest. Can you do that for a moment? Let's be honest enough to admit that there is a degree of hypocrisy in every single one of us. Are you going to tell me you don't have any weeds in you? Are you going to tell me that you always do everything that pleases the Father? Are you going to tell me that you always walk as perfect as Jesus walked? We know we don't. There are things that I deal with in my life that I say, "Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, I need you to follow me and live in me and give me the strength." You see, it's not just the world that has weeds. The church is full of weeds. We have weeds in the church. There's hypocrites here. But still, Christ loved the church and he gave his life for the church. He gave his life for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, For he made him, speaking of Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. My friend, think about that for a moment. Jesus, who knew no sin, who's the only perfect human that ever walked the planet Earth, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He took your sins in his own body and took your sins to the cross, and it was your sins and my sins that placed him on that cross. And when he went to the cross, the sins that he paid for were ours, not his. He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could invite him into our lives so that his Holy Spirit could come and take up residence on the inside of us. I know I've told this story 100 times through the years, but you got to hear it again. I love the story of the little boy who went to the doctor, and the doctor put his stethoscope on his chest and he looked at the little boy and he said, "I think I hear Barney in there." The little boy said, "No, that's Jesus in my heart. Barney's on my shorts." This kid knew where Jesus lives. And today, you need to have Jesus living in your heart. Now, in trying to bring this message to a close today, in closing, let me remind you of another parable Jesus taught. By the way, I want everybody to know I'm licking my hand to get these things over here, but I washed my hands right before I came in here and used the right stuff. Can't get out of that habit of not touching my face. But in closing, let me remind you of another parable that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4. In the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter, Jesus compared himself to a farmer who was planning to have a crop. In Mark 4, beginning at verse number 14, it says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Immediately they are offended. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. You see, part of the seed in this story that Jesus was talking about, some seed landed on good soil, but some seed landed on thorny ground, stony ground, and hard ground. Part of the seed landed on good soil and produced a great harvest. But some of the seed was taken away by Satan. Some of the seed didn't take root because the ground was hard. Some of the seed was devoured by birds. Some of the seed was wasted on shallow ground. And some of the weed was choked out because of the cares of this world. Not even Jesus, in him sowing seed, had perfect results from the seed. So we need to remember that during our down times, during our hard times, during our difficult seasons, we don't need to get discouraged in our efforts to build a better world. You know, we are living in a very trying, difficult time. I realize that. I know that. I know it beyond any shadow of a doubt. We as a world, we as America, we as Christians, we as a nation, But the church, we're trying to eliminate poverty. We've done many things throughout the years on the mission field in Haiti, in Africa, and around the world. We want to eliminate poverty, but you know what? Poverty still exists. Weeds in the wheat. We work and we pray for peace. But you know what? Wars are still wars taking place even today. Weeds in the wheat. We try to establish justice, but injustice endures. Weeds in the wheat. It was that way with Jesus. Jesus tried his best to do what was right. We're at a time and a season where everybody, I want to do what's right for everybody in this season. I know it's a difficult day. We've never been where we are. But I believe if we keep the right attitude, if we keep the right spirit, if we love people, if we accept people and we forgive people, we're going to come out on the other side of this thing in a much better fashion than we are today. I know pastors who decided they were going to go ahead and have their service. They weren't thinking of other people. They were thinking of themselves. I really like what a Tennessee pastor wrote. Let me read this to you. A Tennessee pastor wrote, "I trust God and I still wear my seatbelt. I trust God and I still wear a motorcycle helmet. I trust God and there are still a life jacket in my boat for every person in the boat. I trust God, but I still use mitts to take hot food out of the stove. I trust God, but I lock my house at night. I trust God, but I have smoke detectors in my house. I trust God, and I still take my prescribed medications. I trust God, and I will follow the best guidelines to share the task of flattening the curve. Acting with caution and wisdom does not indicate that I don't trust in God. We're doing what we do, and we're staying where we are. I could give you all kinds of scenarios where Jesus shut them in. Do you remember when the Passover lamb, he said, take them in, get them in the house, close the door, put the blood over the doorpost. He shut them in for a season for evil to pass. Noah got his family and all of the animals and shut them into an ark for an evil situation to pass. Rahab the harlot got them all together and got them in and was shut in for a bad time to go by. We're in a shut-in time right now, but I want to tell you something. This too will pass. I believe with all of my heart that God cares for us, He loves us, and He cares about you. Friend, let me just say this to you, wherever you are, what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're struggling with, and I don't know what your battle is. But I want you to listen, not to your head. I want you to listen to your heart. God is speaking to your heart, and He's telling you He loves you just the way you are. He accepts you just the way you are. And He wants to forgive you of every sin and every iniquity. Well, if you'll love Him and you'll open up your heart to Him, He'll come into your heart and your heart will be changed immediately. You'll be born again and you are in a right relationship with God. Now, let me tell you something. Your mind won't instantly be changed because your mind, your will, and your emotions are a part of your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions are changed as you read the Word of God, study the Word of God, get with other believers, become a part of a church, and begin doing what believers want to do and need to do to grow and mature in the knowledge of God and His Word. That's a part of your mind. Your flesh, your body, the body that you live in isn't saved. It's going to go back to the dust of the earth. It's going to die because this body is not born again. Your spirit is born again, your soul's being renewed, and your spirit and soul, when this body dies, will go be with the Lord. But there'll be a day that the Lord returns, and when the Lord returns, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I believe with all of my heart that God wants you to open up your heart and ask Him to come in. You're not going to be perfect. I don't know of one Christian that's perfect. Best man I ever knew was my daddy, and my daddy would look at you and tell you he had plenty of faults. Everybody I know has flaws, has faults. We live in an imperfect world that has weeds in it. But you and I have some weeds in us. We've got some things going on in us that don't need to be there. Let me encourage you today. I want to pray a closing prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. I don't do this very often, but I feel directed to do this today. Next Sunday, we're going to have church on the parking lot, and it's going to be Easter Sunday, and I don't really care if you dress up to come. You can come in your pajamas with a cup of coffee and come and sit in the parking lot and wave at everybody. We'll have a restroom open. You can get up and walk to a restroom. We want to practice all of the safe things so that we don't spread this horrible, horrible virus. But we can look at each other and have a time where we see each other and talk at a distance and just know that it's good to be with other Christians. But right now, I just want to encourage you to open up your heart and let Jesus in. After I pray this prayer, I want to play a song for you. And the song that I want to play for you is a song that I really wanted to sing it myself. Just joking. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way, He will make a way. The verse says, by a roadway in the wilderness He'll lead me, rivers in the desert will I see, heaven and earth will fade, but His word will still remain. He will do something new today. Let the Lord do something new in your heart. If you're here and you're not in a right relationship with the Lord, here's what I'd like for you to say with me. Dear Lord, I'm not giving my life to You. I'm inviting You to come into my heart and into my life. Just say, dear Lord, come into my heart, into my life this day. I want You to be a part of my life. I've tried to do good things. I've tried to be a good person. But Lord, I could do so much more if You were living on the inside of me. So invite Jesus to come into your heart today and say, Lord, come into my heart, take me just the way I am, and make a way for me to serve You. Now let me pray for you. Dear Lord, I pray for everyone who has prayed that prayer, who have accepted You, and I ask You, Lord, to just touch them, change their life, make a way for them to walk with You like You have for so many of us. I thank You for this opportunity today. In Jesus' name, amen.